Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike Dettori along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's. Give you an update on the Tulane UAB game. Barry Switzer had a line at one time, the old Oklahoma coach, about hanging half a hundred on somebody. Tulane, 57-13 over UAB.
Can I say, was that expected?
Not like that.
To win?
Expected to win and cover, yes. Not like this.
You know, you think who they beat in UAB. I think this is a trivia thing. Who's the head coaches right now? I think I'm asking this right. Who's the head coaches right now in college football? There's two of them that won a Super Bowl. Well, obviously, Trent Dilfer's won with the Ravens. You said the other one's obvious if you think of the name.
It's Deion.
Yeah, Deion.
Yeah, it's Deion.
Trent Dilfer and Deion are the two head coaches in college football that have won a Super Bowl. And Trent Dilfer, you know what people remember him by? Because he was on such a great Ravens defense, kind of like with me with the Dome Patrol. They remember Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson with the Bucks.
Yeah.
It's like that shows you don't need a franchise quarterback to win the Super Bowl.
Bobby, back then you didn't.
Yeah, back then,
nah,
yeah.
Nah, Bobby, I don't know about that.
Yeah, but back then that's what happened. Yeah.
Bobby, there is probably one or two more that are not at the
– Elite?
No, yeah, not at the Power Four level.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
That are not at the Power Four, yeah.
Head coach, okay.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think of the receiver name. He's a receiver, but he played for New England when they won one of the seven. One of the seven.
Troy Brown?
No, it's not Troy, but it wasn't one of the stars.
I got you.
It wasn't one of the stars. And the only reason I know is because Antonio Hargrove.
Okay. Is
on that staff. Oh. The D lineman that played for the Saints.
I got you.
It's like D2. It's Division 2 or Division
3. Okay, I got you. So it might have been the trivia was probably Power 4.
Power 4. Power 4. No, which is 100% correct.
Right.
But I just thought about him just because I've seen it. And I know that he was – I don't know if he won two Super Bowls or three Super Bowls. And he wasn't like I said, you know, he wasn't – what's the kid from – Pearl River, or the receiver from
Joe Horn.
No, junior college that played for Brady and New England.
His name's slipping my mind now too.
He was one of the better receivers. Deion Branch.
Deion Branch.
Okay.
It's not Deion Branch. Okay. And it's not one of like the Randy Mosses and Edelman or anybody like that. It wasn't one of those guys, but it is one of those.
Well, and I hate to say this, but you know who can win a Super Bowl? And he's never going to be known as top five, top six. I put him in top 10 because I like him, is Kirk Cousins. Let me tell you why Kirk Cousins. Now, you might – don't hate me, Who That Nation. I'm just a messenger. Let me tell you, Kirk Cousins right now, isn't he very similar to Matt Ryan? Didn't Matt Ryan take Atlanta to the Super Bowl? Now, they didn't win. They choked against the Patriots. I'm telling you. Why? And I hate to say this, but in the summer we were saying, it ain't no damn Desmond Ritter anymore in Atlanta.
No, Atlanta's always had talent. I mean, they've drafted well as far as, you know, they've always drafted high draft picks as far as on the edge. It was could they get a quarterback that could, you know, handle and get them in and out of the huddle. You know, my question is what they – of obviously what they've done the last 3 weeks is amazing. But when injury hits on the defensive side of the ball, how do they kind of handle it? Because we saw what happened when they lost Grady. They were a different squad.
Right. Totally different.
They were a different squad. So I'm not saying that you're going to lose Grady again, but they haven't rushed the passer really well. Even though you picked up Judon, there was a play, I think it was the first play of the game, Chris Olave. Judon looked like he was running like me. You know,
right.
And I'm like, man, he looked slow. Now, he made the play against the Saints and got his hands up on the ball. He's still a smart player, but you don't see the explosion. So, for me, when they have a loss, and it doesn't have to be a big one, but when they have a loss to on the defensive side of the ball, can they handle that? That's my question for
them. Okay, you know who's gotten a push for them? Doesn't get a lot of recognition. Onyemata.
Well, yeah, Dave, he's still strong.
Man, he's still strong. He's country or ox strong.
He may not be the quickest, but he's still strong.
Man, is he strong.
You know, and you know how we appreciate Honey Badger. I got some notes on him. You know, he maybe missed a tackle now and then, but he's still a playmaker. You know who also is a playmaker for Atlanta?
Or both of those
and reminds, but the one who's like Peanut Tillman Jr.
Simmons.
Bates.
Well, did you like see Bates as well? He punched it out on
twice. Yeah. Twice.
On Bucky Irving.
Yeah, two punch outs that it was like he's in position to make the tackle, but also with that opposite hand, he's punching the ball out. Tampa Bay had the game, don't fumble. And he did it twice.
Okay, Bob, but then you get an interception. Levante David picks it off, and you go three.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah, you thought the game was over.
As soon as they punted, I said, man, they got issues. But it was how he did it in that two-minute drill at the end. I do give the referees a lot of credit here.
They hustled.
I think they do a much better job of setting the ball, touching it today than ever before.
Well, but you got to give
the Cowboys didn't get a playoff because of that.
You have to give Atlanta Falcons, their coaching staff, and the players a lot of credit. There wasn't nobody loafing.
No.
How the offensive line, like when even Dallas tried to do that and they ran out of time.
They were all walking around.
It was like an accordion. There wasn't nobody running up there.
They knew the situation. And so as far as spotting the ball, all the ref has to do is touch
it.
He doesn't have to physically spot it. All he has to do is touch it.
Well, and you look, Deuce, they're not going to have enough time. No, Atlanta was all on top of that. You got to give them the credit. That's why if the Saints are in that situation, that's a coaching clinic. Any team. Say, this is how, if we're in this situation, this is what we're doing. I want you to look what Atlanta did, how they were able to run a play. Look how successful that play was and still able to spike it and then get that game-winning field goal.
That is a well-coached team.
Look at that play.
Deuce, tell us a little bit about what's happening with Ole Miss.
Yeah, Mike, we had talked about it, you know, before the kickoff, Beamer and the special teams and how it runs in his family. And sure enough, they went for it on fourth down, tried to fake a punt, and Ole Miss stopped them. Ole Miss is up right now 14-0 with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Like I said, from talking to some people up in Oxford, I thought that you would get a more focused and a team that was locked in completely. Not to say that this game is won, but I thought that early on they were going to show that they were ready to be able to play. Now, I still think South Carolina has a shot to be able to get in the game, but offensively, Ole Miss was not going to be caught kind of like they were against Kentucky.
But don't you think South Carolina is limited?
They are.
On the offensive side. Pitch and catch part of the game. Man, when that quarterback went down, that was it. They did hit a couple of running plays, big chunk plays against LSU, but they couldn't throw the ball worth a lick.
Yeah, no, Sellers is still a work in progress, and then we know what's the kid's name? He transferred from Auburn. Is it Alford?
Alford.
The backup quarterback that transferred from Auburn, we know that he's limited as well. And so they just don't have a lot of weapons offensively to be able to do some stuff. And so it's got to be a little scoring game for them to be in it.
You know what, Deuce? I wanted to bring this, and it's at the beginning of the season when you were on, and so we all could talk about it. That, you know how it's cyclical and how all of a sudden, oh, it's a pass-happy league because of the rules and all that. Well, this is interesting. The NFL, I'm not saying they're going back to old-school smash-mouth or running the football. But NFL teams are averaging right at 120 yards per game, up from last season by basically a little over 8 yards. So they're right at 112 last year. We're now at 120. So the average rushing attempts per team per game this season, going into week four, was 27 versus that was basically the same. But they were just looking at you basically getting 8 yards more. Now 13 of the teams are averaging 125 yards a game. That's where I look at the Saints. Can we be around that number? And they were kind of explaining in this article, it's an AP writer, Rob Matty, if I'm pronouncing that right. And he said, because you know how you kind of change to stop offenses using lighter, more athletic linebackers, you know, the two high safeties. So you worry about the pass, so you don't have an extra guy in the box. Now, I thought this is interesting also. Overall, teams are averaging 201 yards passing per game, almost 20 yards less than last year. Now think about it. This is like when I was playing.
That's significant.
This is 20 yards less than last year when I was playing. They told me, I remember, Coach Warren would say, boy, can you get 225 yards passing, then you're doing your job. But right now we're averaging like 201 yards a game. Last year, like 219. It's the fewest yards since 2003.
That's fire.
When they averaged 200 yards. So 17 teams are averaging 200 yards passing per game. So and it goes on. And then you look at the average age of the starting quarterbacks. It's 27.5. The youngest during Super Bowl era. In 2020 now, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Roethlisberger is still playing. It was right under 30. And then you look what they're paying the quarterbacks. Even though if you can throw over 200 yards, like, for instance, Dak Prescott.
$50 million.
So they have $60 million. But they have now basically have 15 quarterbacks. That's why we're not overpaying Derek Carr. 15 quarterbacks are earning at least $40 million. So I said, oh, we're paying Derek Carr too much money. Well, that's just the going rate. But the point being is that caught my attention, that basically, you look a couple of decades, 20 yards or less.
You know what that tells me? Offensive line play. Have you seen it any worse in the league?
Bad
offensive line play. There's not enough good offensive line.
And then you have an injury, it's going to be a big drop-off.
No, it's Mount Everest.
Yeah.
A drop-off, so to speak. Updating you on Tulane UAB. Man, you talk about a whipping.
Are they running the clock yet?
Yeah, right.
Running the clock?
With 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Tulane 71-13 over UAB. Man, almost like John Summerall. Man, I got something against Trent Dilfer. I'm going to run that score up.
Did he say something bad to him?
Not that I know of.
No, that sounds like South Alabama versus Northwestern State when they scored 80.
Well, they got a shot with that. No, I mean, 71. But, man, 71-13, Green Wave over UAB. And here's the worst part. Still got 7 minutes left in the game.
And that's one where you want to run the clock. Just run it.
The running clock like in high school.
We'll be back on WWL Live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. When we come back, Jeff Duncan will join us talking Saints Chiefs right after this break on the Big 870 WWL.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on WWL Live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway, special edition of Sports Talk. Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. I'm not just doing this because we got Jeff Duncan on, but, man, SMU beat Louisville today 34-27.
So. I am. Speak up for Louisville.
Come on, Jeff. That was a tough loss for Louisville.
It's been ugly in basketball. It's getting ugly in football. What are the Cardinals going to do?
I can't hear you guys. You're breaking up.
Yeah. Jeff, Louisville Cardinals.
I thought Rob Ryan was running the Louisville defense today. It was that bad.
Jeff, give us the list of guys that are going to play because the injury list for the Saints is so damn long. And, makeshift offensive line again this week. And now you got some issues at the linebacking core with Willie Gay, Pete Werner. DeMario comes back. But, man, this is a football team I do know who they got to line up against defensive line wise, and Chris Jones, and he got to be taking a look at this and saying, "Man, a dream come true here to play against this front."
Yeah, look, you guys know this. I mean, the NFL is just—it's a war of attrition. So many teams right now banged up across the league. It really puts an emphasis on your depth and can you withstand these injury sprees. And the Saints right now are getting hit along the offensive line and losing Taysom Hill. I think, I mean, Deuce, you know this. I mean, the Saints, Clint Kubiak, they use Hill in such a creative way to really force opposing defenses into certain packages and get him in the right personnel. I mean, he's just a real big chess piece in that system. I guess the only good thing is they've known about him being out, so they probably had a chance to game plan around it. But I think losing Taysom Hill is big in this game because I think the Saints need to run the ball against this defense.
You know, Jeff, I always toot your horn, and I'm not just saying that because I always read what you're writing, and I tend to agree with you. If not 100%, it's in the 90s. And I'm not just saying that because you're on, because I think you're very knowledgeable. And I like it. You know, we used to always break up the season in quarters, but now they play 17 games. But you still can look at it every four games, where the Saints are at. And you look at what you can be encouraged by and discouraged. If you can read that piece on Jeff Duncan, you know, I still get the paper delivered to my house. So I read it this morning, and it was just outstanding. It's so right on. So you talk about the reason why the Chiefs are 4-0 and the Saints are not 4-0. How do you close out the game? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's ugly, but how do you close out the game? And then you look, you know how much I love the numbers in situational football. And if you'd have just told me this, look, we're looking at, you wrote this, the most important situations dictating the outcome of a game. You look at the NFL as a whole on third down, red zones. The Saints are excellent in both. They're the only team in the league in the top five in three of the NFL's four key situations. Third down offense, which they're second, over 53%. Red zone offense is second. Third down defense, if you look at, okay, they're 15, but that's still 35.5%. Red zone defense, number one. So you look converting third downs into first downs and scoring touchdowns instead of field goals, that all comes into play. To me, that how can you not be 4-0? But like I said, I want you to comment when you talk about, like, closing out games. Is it the coach? This is discouraging, finishing games. The Saints have struggled to close out games under Dennis Allen. The Saints are 8-14 in one-score games under Coach Allen, and we've now lost five consecutive games decided by 8 points or fewer. So right then, I mean, I don't know. I like Dennis Allen. But how you might say, well, he's either going to get the glory or get the blame. But that's not that's when you look at that sample size, 8-14. That ain't getting it done in these one score games, and you're not coming out on top.
No, and look, the team they play this week, they're the masters of winning those games, and it kind of goes back to, you know, when the Saints had Drew Brees. It's kind of like when you played pickup basketball in the park, right, guys? And you knew you had the best guy on your team. You know, you had the dog on your team, the alpha. You kind of played a little better because you knew you had the dude. And I feel like that's the way the Chiefs are. They know they got Mahomes, and everyone else just believes he's going to do something to pull out the game. I don't know if the Saints have that right now. I don't think they have that feeling that they're just going to win those close games. And I think that lack of confidence shows up sometimes. We saw it last week, you know, where Paulson Adebo ends up grabbing at the wrong time. I mean, you just got to have that swagger about you, and they don't have it right now. And until they win some of those games, I don't think they're going to have it. You know, I think you have to put some of those notches on your belt to get there.
Jeff, one of the things is you brought up the importance of Taysom Hill. And, man, Alvin's getting so many touches now. Deuce and I have talked about this, and Deuce is feeling sort of similar to mine. Kendra Miller, okay, you got to see him sooner than later. I'm not sure about Monday night, but I think it's got to be real quick to have him out on the field to help this team in the ability to run the football, maybe make a catch or two coming out of the backfield. But, man, that hamstring, you know, you talk about from the start of training camp all the way to now, you got to get him out on the field. He's got to play, and I think it's much quicker than, say, the 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they put him out there. I mean, you all would know better than I. Can you play and be in football shape? I mean, I know he's a young cat, but he hadn't played at all. You know, he hasn't even practiced. So I don't know if you put him right out there, but your point, Mike, is well said. They've got to do something to take some of the load off Alvin. I think he's averaging over 24 touches a game. That's a career high.
Right.
He's taking some big-time hits. He's getting beat up, and he's not going to last at this rate.
You know, Jeff, when I think about this, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I look at Kendre Miller. You know, despite his injury history, I didn't even remember this. But it was at the end of last year, you know, he looked explosive. In the last game of 2023 season, he had 73 yards rushing on 13 carries. And when we stomped Atlanta, boy, I'd like to see that again. Think about that. Boy, if he could do that against the Chiefs or come Tampa Bay, you get about 12, 13 touches and you're getting 70 yards, that'd be a big win.
I don't know about getting 13 touches, though.
But no, I mean,
I would like to have that average.
But he did that in a real game.
He did, but he hasn't played at
no,
all.
No, exactly. But I mean, I think he knows the play. I hope he knows the plays.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, too.
Well, you know, look, they obviously don't have a lot of confidence in Jamal Williams right now.
Nope.
I think that's pretty clear. They're not using him when they clearly could. So they've got to find it from somewhere. And I don't know where that is with Taysom Hill out. You know, they obviously have looked at the waiver wire. I know Deuce and I talked back in training camp. I mean, we thought they might bring in another back at some point to kind of compete in the backfield. And they did right after the start of the season. And the guy from Minnesota, I forget his name, ended up failing a physical. But they clearly, I think, could use another back to spell Alvin. Whether it's Jordan Mims, you know, undrafted rookie,
right,
putting him out there and giving him a shot, I just think they've got to do something or else Alvin's not going to last.
Well, and here's the other thing. When you talk about Kendre Miller, you got to remember, guys, he still has to be brought up to the active roster.
Well, but they got 3 weeks, dude.
Well, 21 days.
21 days.
Yeah,
yeah.
21 days. Well, and so he can practice. But if he's going to play on Monday, I think it's Monday, up until Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be tomorrow when you travel. But they'll have to release someone off of the active roster and bring Kendre onto the active roster.
Right. There has to be a transaction. That's exactly right. And Dennis, look, reading between the lines with DA this week, it almost sounded to me like he wasn't going to bring him up. He wanted to kind of bring him along and see where he was at, see if he could get in football shape. But we know this, he should have fresh legs. I mean, he hasn't worked in months, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Now, Jeff, anything you think is going to come about, because kind of like rumors with Devontae Adams, Jets, Saints, Jets, as far as and I thought when you have connections and all that.
Edgar Allen pole, yeah, potholes.
Yeah, the Ravens, you saw that. And then, but you look.
I think he's stirring the pot for more market.
Well, the thing is, you look at the chemistry, well established with Derek Carr going back to his days at Fresno State. And then wide receiver coach Keith Adams, also a personal receivers coach for years with him, you know, before he went to the NFL. And then you look at the general manager that traded for Devontae Adams in Las Vegas, Dave Ziegler, is now a consultant for the Saints. So that's a pretty good connection that you can connect the dots. But with the salary cap, what's your take on that? I was just looking at his contract. If he's traded, still $13.5 million for the rest of the season, then has two non-guaranteed years left at $36.5 million, basically. So, you know, that ain't happening. But what's your take on Devontae Adams? Because I guarantee if he'd come to the Saints, Chris Olave is number two. He's not number one. Right here, he's the number one Saints receiver. And I always said this, Chris Olave can be every team's number two. Sometimes with the yak and all that, I think he has gotten better with contested catches. But what's your take now? Would that be something that, to me, it's like we're all in. We still think that not only maybe going back to the playoffs, but to contend for the NFC West if we bring in a guy like Devontae Adams.
Well, tell me what the compensation is, because that's
what it
comes down to.
I agree.
Yeah, what are you giving up? What are they asking? I mean, it's complicated, guys. I mean, you mentioned the salary cap. I mean, you'd have to rework his deal for sure. This would be a move for the here and now. And we know Dennis Allen needs the win this year. I think everyone understands that. So it would be a move to try and win, get in the playoffs, and worry about the future another day. But I like where they're at the receiver core right now. I guess the issue I would have and the reason I would consider Davante Adams is, you know, if you get Olave or Rashid hurt, there's not a whole lot behind him that you feel real confident about.
We just cut A.T. Perry.
There, you feel better.
Yeah, we just cut A.T. Perry. I'm like, what, I don't know how hungry he was for football. But the reason why I bring that up, Jeff, I'm looking that, you know, Davante Adams had at least 1,000-yard receiving in five of the last six seasons. And when he played with Derek Carr, that was just around the corner, 2022, he had 88 receptions for like basically 1,300 yards. So, you know, they have some kind of connection. That's why I just look at that relationship, how you're on the same page. I think it could work out. And like you said, Dennis Allen, the Saints, we got to win now. I mean, that's why I thought the Saints have a chance. Whether you could say the Jets, and they always talk about Dallas or the Ravens, whoever it might be, but the compensation comes into play. But Davante Adams would make us better offensively.
I agree with that, but would you give up a second-round pick for him?
Yes.
For a one-year player?
Well, Peyton Turner. Look what we did. We helped Peyton Turner. You don't know. I mean, it's a lot of value, but we hope Trevor Penning works out. Look where he was drafted. I just look at Peyton Turner. So I don't know when you say second round. I mean, I know Davante Adams could play.
He can help every team.
Well, okay.
Chris
Olave is not considered. He's a top receiver, but not considered amongst the best in the NFL. Davante Adams is considered amongst the best. And I'm talking about the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Davante Adams is right there. Then that's why I'm just bringing that up as far as when you compare. And I like Chris Olave. But I think Davante Adams is still a different category than Olave.
If he's in that category right now, I would argue against that. I mean, he's 31.
Okay.
I think he's on the downward trajectory in his career. I think he's still a very good player. He's obviously had bad quarterback play. But I would worry a little bit about how does that dynamic work with
Olave attitude?
And Rashid. Well, I'm just saying, how do you insert a guy like that, who clearly believes he's still a number one, into a mix that's already kind of established? I think you got to be careful with the chemistry and how that stuff works in your locker room. But the one thing I would say, you mentioned it earlier, they've got a lot of intel on Davante Adams. Those guys know him well.
Right.
So they would have a good sense of if he would fit in or not and play that role.
Yeah, behind the scenes, without saying anything, no, we don't want him here. He would be good for the locker room. No, we'll never know that.
I think it would be more than 1 year as well.
Yeah, it's got to be multi-year.
Yeah, maybe two.
Yeah, it's got to be that. Jeff, good or bad, hasn't this team showed some restraint in getting involved with veteran players with big contracts in the offseason? And we haven't seen that. Okay, the Willie Gay type deals, yeah, we've seen that in the past. But
they
would always kind of go out and spend a lot of money on an older veteran player to bring in. This year, it's been different. They have shown some restraint in going out, and I don't want to say a Davante Adams type player, but going after a high price free agent. And that's good and bad with that. But the fact that they know they got salary cap issues for 2025.
Yeah, and Mickey's even said that, Mike. I mean, I think it's something of a soft rebuild going on right now. I mean, they still want to be competitive, but they clearly, this past offseason, really held back, I think, on trying to get into the free agent market. I mean, Chase Young, Willie Gay, those guys were, I think, very cost-effective signings, a lot of kind of show-me contracts there. Because they like their young draft picks the last couple of years, maybe more than people outside the building do. And I think they wanted to see those guys step into roles, bigger roles. But they just don't have the long-term cap room to go out and sign somebody big. It kind of forced their hand. Look, there's a cost to doing business the way the Saints have handled the cap. And I think we're seeing some of that come back around on them right now, because their depth on this team is not what it should be or what it's been in past years, because they haven't been able to kind of bolster
that second level lineup with veteran players in free agency.
Now, Jeff, you know, pass happy league and all that. Who's more elite than the Saints? I think now. I'm not talking about closing out the game, but you wrote this. The Saints have allowed only one touchdown pass. Think about this in four games, which is a league low, number one in NFL, while recording six interceptions, making 25 pass breakups, opposing QB rating. Quarterbacks probably hate to face the Saints. A league low, 68 passer rating, and it's not like we've played. These are household names. Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts. Then you look at Kirk Cousins. Look what he did to the Bucs. He wasn't able to score a touchdown against the Saints. But then you look at the question I have for you, the twofold. This is not good. This hasn't been the case as of late. Now, you're glad that your cornerbacks can tackle, but that's not good that Paulson Adebo is leading the team in tackles. And when I look at also Paulson Adebo has six holding pass interference penalties and the 528 yards they've allowed after catches, which is fourth most in the league, giving up those chunk pass plays. So the question I have for you, because in the future, I don't know, do you pay Lattimore? And I think the jury's still out with Adebo, because Adebo was outstanding last year, and he's going to want to get paid, and I think he will get paid. But I think it depends what Adebo does the rest of the season as far as his market. But if you only can pay one of them, Lattimore or Adebo, who do you want right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a question they're probably asking on Airline Drive right now, how they're going to go about this secondary in the future, because I think Alante Taylor's had a great year. Yeah. I think they're very high on Kool-Aid McKinstry. They drafted him for a reason, and I think Adebo was part of their future, but he's got to play better, guys. I mean, he's getting picked on right now pretty mercilessly by opponents, and like Dennis Allen said this week, You all know this. When there's blood in the water in the NFL, I mean, you got to stop the bleeding yourself, because they're going to keep coming after you. Yeah, it's going to continue. You know, I mean, they're not going to go after Lattimore, and the way Alante's playing, you're not going to pick on him. So they're going to keep calling his number until he can show he can hold up. And he's got to be less grabby. I think some of that happens when he gets poor technique and gets, you know, out of leverage. And I guarantee you Kansas City is going to come after him on Monday night.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, bud. And there's always a next week for the Cardinals.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate getting off to that great start. I got to go lick my wounds.
Thank you,
now.
Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy. All righty.
All right, Jeff.
We'll be back with more of the WWL live broadcast from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike Detillo along with Deuce McAllister, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints.
And, Mike, when we come back, I got a little interesting tidbit about the Major League playoffs, League Baseball playoffs.
And I'll say this, 33 years ago this week, guess who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine? 33 years ago. Think about it.
So it'd be 91? Oh, me.
The Cajun.
That's it. 33 years ago.
Why do you think we made this cake for you?
Come on.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Why do you think we had this cookie cake made for you?
Bobby, I sort of keep up with that. We'll be back with more
33
Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike Detillo along with Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert. Come shop and save at Rouse's. Get USDA Grade A Sanderson Farms boneless skinless chicken breasts, only $1.97 per pound. Save $2.02 per pound. And as we ended the last segment, it'll be 33 years Monday, but Bobby Hebert was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. If you can go to my social media
October
page on
7th, 1991.
October 7th.
Deuce, how old you were at 91? How old you were?
91.
Yeah, what you?
I was born. I was.
We
got that part.
I ain't that much older.
I was born. I was probably what? 13 years old, junior high.
Yeah, junior high. Yeah, so that's it.
And his, 14 years old.
His, his dad, God bless him, you say, "Oh, Mike, we had that so long in the bathroom."
No, my dad, you know what he had on back of the toilet? He had a Bible and a Sports Illustrated every week.
Oh, wow.
He get the Sports Illustrated. He couldn't believe his son was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Dude, he kept that.
Oh, he oh, said, yeah. No, because that's something all – you remember Sports Illustrated? Everybody
that was big.
That's what you waited on.
Yeah, yeah, wasn't no internet.
Yeah, that's what you waited
you
on.
Waited,
you waited on that, and, I mean, it was
– Yeah, to have that.
That's how we followed, and that's how we kept up with stuff. It wasn't internet.
Boy, and that cover on that picture, we had played – that was in Fulton County Stadium before the Georgia Dome. That was in Atlanta. They still had the baseball field, so the dirt infield. And we started out 6-0. And you know the jinx of Sports Illustrated? The next week we were playing the Bears. I got slammed on my shoulder. And Deuce, I'm telling you, then we ended up finishing 11-5 that year, won the NFC West. That was the first division title. But I only got to play in 10 games, and I was like 9-1. In those games, but see Stan Brock.
I'm showing Bobby the pictures of inside the gumbo yaya of him throwing the pass, and Stan, man, all muddied up from the field.
The old mountain man from Oregon, he played as a Colorado Buff where Deion's at. And Mike and Deuce, I wanted to bring this up because I like underdogs, and it just shows you how you could turn things quickly around. It's the Major League Baseball playoffs. You know how this year the National League Central, it was only the Milwaukee Brewers, it wasn't the Cubs. It wasn't the St. Louis Cardinals. The Milwaukee Brewers got knocked out right at the end by the Mets. Well, this year's up-and-coming feel-good division, the American League Central. Now, you look at the payrolls and all that come about. Three of its teams right now are still alive in divisional round play from the American League Central, the Cleveland Guardians. They're playing the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers are fresh off. Sorry, Charlie. Fresh off a wild card sweep of the Astros,
you're be depressed
who was
a long
the AL West champion, then the Royals, they going up against the Yankees after all of a sudden they swept the Baltimore Orioles. Now, the reason why I bring this up to show you how you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse, each finished below 500 last season. In the Royals' case, they matched the franchise record for ineptitude by losing 106 games,
yep.
A full 50 more than they won. Now, the Tigers won just 78 games, and the Guardians won 76. And the three teams, now you compare them like to the Yankees. They were, Yankees in the division round were a combined 66 games below 500 last year. That being the Guardians, the Tigers, and the Royals. Now you know how to put a little coin and you want to bet? You never know what's going to happen. The Tigers and the Guardians carried a 66-1 odds to win the World Series on opening day. Now, if you chose the Royals were 200-1 long shot. So if you put $100 back in March on the Royals, you could just waste $100. That winning ticket, if they, the Royals would somehow win, and it has happened, you can win $20,000 on that $100 bet. Now, the Royals got to beat the Yankees, and they why not? I mean, you've seen him before. You look at upsets. They have who would probably look at Royals shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. He would probably be up for MVP except for Judge. With the Yankees. So you look at that, and you look at their payroll. The Royals, $117 million. The Guardians, $109 million. The Tigers, $101 million. You know what the Yankees' payroll? $311
million. What the Dodgers
do. They didn't
they
have this
the Dodgers?
Probably, they just, probably close to it.
Yeah. They had all just the American League. And if you look at it, you know, getting on a hot streak, you look at the Tigers. Since August the 10th, now when I left to come do the show, they were losing 5-0 against the Guardians. But on August 10th, they were 31-13, and they went on a tear since August the 13th. They got them into the playoffs for the first time in a decade. They didn't in the playoffs since 2014. But why the Royals have a chance and those odds 200-1? They considered, if not the best pitching staff, all
one
the teams left. Yes, they end the conversation. So if you know you got pitching, and Mike,
you in there,
you got a chance.
Yeah, and that's why when I look at it. And the last time the Royals were in the playoffs in 2015, they won the World Series.
And Mike,
And you know who's a part owner of the football connection with the Royals? Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. Now, and they play Monday. They play Monday before we do, before the Saints. And Mike, now, I just want you to know, now, Bobby has his ribeye. Marcy said, what kind it was? Now, that was the cook.
USDA grade A.
Yeah, and so that was the chef that just came in. Oh. So, Mike, we can't let him sneak out here without us making sure. And so he teases us by opening the box.
He keeps opening it up so we get a whiff of that.
Ooh, man, I'm telling you.
Close that thing, man.
this meat is so nice. I don't think if I lost all my teeth, I think I could gum it. I could chew it.
It's just going to be a gummy.
It's that tender.
A gummy. It's a gummy.
It is that tender. Boy, what a great looking state here.
Okay, Ole Miss 17-3 over South Carolina. 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Here's a real surprise. Ohio State with little over a minute left, 7-0 over Iowa.
Man, a minute left?
In the second quarter.
In the second quarter, it's only 7-3.
7-0.
Oh, 7-0. I mean, that's how Iowa wants to play, though.
Iowa's
out.
Yeah, they don't have offense. The best Iowa team, they said dark horse, you know, odds. Watch Iowa State if they don't make the playoffs. They one of those teams. Because all of a sudden they beat Iowa, and now the Iowa State Cyclones, watch out. You know, to make that final 12, they still in the hunt for the, the Big 12 they still call
it? I don't even know the conference.
Yeah, the Big 8, but you know, the Big 12, they said, watch out for Iowa State being in the postseason.
We'll be back to finish it off here at Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway, right after this break. We're finishing up here on our special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 at Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike Dettelier, along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, want to say a special thanks to Donnie Rouse, Tim Acosta, Marcy Nathan, and all of the Rouse team for having us here this afternoon. Great pregame show as we enter another week of pro football and Monday night football right here on the Big 870. Saints, Chiefs.
Go Saints.
Thanks for listening.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Again, go Saints. Win in prime time, please.
Not please.
Yeah, I hope. Hope. Give us some hope.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.